Genesis chapter number two. Again, church, thank you so much for your faithful support. Again, it's exciting to see the life and the growth here at your church, and hear about so many guys and gals going off to Bible college. And really, the church has got to produce in order for the church to continue on. And it's got to produce more leaders. You can produce a lot of folks that just go off, but then you don't have anybody coming up to help lead in the ministry. And so we're excited for you. And let's go ahead, if you would, turn to Genesis chapter number 2. I want to talk to you tonight about a thing called the marriage of missions. And in this, I want to let you know, first of all, that we count it a privilege to serve our Lord. And there's a Guatemalan flag back there on the corner, amen? Just so you know, just get it all down. Here in this passage, we want to see, first of all, the main characters in this passage. Now, this passage, if you're familiar with Genesis chapter number 2, is a creation, and this is also the first marriage. And so here we're going to see the first marriage, and with the title of the marriage of missions, you'll be able to see where we're going not too shortly after. Let's go ahead and begin reading chapter number 2, verse number 20. The Bible says, "And Adam gave names to all the cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Let's pray. Father, we do pray that you would bless now, Lord. And we do thank you, Father, again for this church, Lord, the exciting, Lord, all you're doing here. Lord, continue, Lord, to bless. Lord, speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, help us, Lord, to be able to understand clearly what your plan is, Lord, in the area of missions. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Here, again, in this passage, we have the main characters being God. Amen. God's right there in the midst. And you can picture God however you want to picture him. Amen. I don't know if he was a theophanies. We good here? We're not on? He says we're not on. Well, it's a good thing we get to settle now. It is weird because he said it was all good. We did this earlier. Amen. I won't roam too much. And when I do, I'll just get louder. All right, it looks like we're on now. Amen. Amen. We'll get it one way or another. Amen. I can be loud. That's not a problem. You can ask. I learned out at Norris, and you use that diaphragm. Amen. And you can get some noise. I still remember we were at Bible college, and Brother Crawford was there. Brother Michael was there, and then you had Bill Howe. I mean, how do you know Pastor Bill Howe? Right, well, he was on this side right here. And he can't sing at all. And I was trying to lead. You remember that? I'd have to move over here on this side of the platform just because he sounded so bad. And I couldn't, I mean, I couldn't, you know, I was, you know, trying to lead the music, and it was just so bad I'd move over to this side. So now, I didn't hear you sing, so we're okay, amen. But I just still remember those Bible college days. Anyway, the characters here were God, and then you had man, and then we had Eve, amen. And here God brings Eve to man, and we have the very first marriage. And I want you to notice, first of all, that for marriage really to be what God wants it to be, God has to be preeminent. God has got to be the focus of our marriage. If we're living for the kids, well, then when the kids get out of the house, then the marriage falls apart. Or if we're living for the adventure, when we can no longer do adventurous things, then there's problems. If we're living for what we can get out of the marriage, well, then when one person stops giving as much as they, at least the other one thinks they ought to give, well, then there's conflict. But when God is the preeminent, when God is a focus, man, the marriage is great. Amen. And so here, I just want to let you know that's the basis of the, from here on out. You just got to get it in mind. Christ has to be the focus. Listen, if I'm going to be the Christian, if I'm the Christian I ought to be, I'll be the husband I ought to be. Amen. If I'm the Christian I ought to be, I'll be the pastor I ought to be.
If I'm the Christian I ought to be, I'll be the church member I ought to be. But the problem is, if I'm not the Christian, keeping God as my focus, then it's very easy for me to get into the flesh or to want my will or my desires, and those don't always line up with God. And therefore, because we're a little out of kilter, well, then we're a little sharp with the wife, and we're loud at the kids. It has nothing to do with being loud, like I said earlier. It never happened to that. No, I can't say that. It happens too. Amen. I'm human. Anyway, we have to keep God as our focus. And if we'll do that, brethren, everything works out great. And here, you know, God is there in the midst. You have Adam and Eve. And first of all, I want you to notice point number one, for those of you take notes. I want to see God's plan. You know, God has a plan for your life. And here, God, before Eve ever came along, God had a plan. And he wanted to show Adam one thing, that Adam had a need. Adam had a need. Look at verse number 20 again. And you'll see where God kind of just sets Adam up. I think God's got a sense of humor. Here you see there, and he says, and Adam gave names unto the cattle. So God brings all the animals by Adam, and he wants Adam to name the animals. And in naming the animals, he has them. And I kind of picture it like the ark. Yeah, 2x2, like you see all. Now you know there was like 7 males and of the clean animals and 7 males of the. Of 7 females that were clean too. You remember, you're not right. Because if not, when they got off the ark, they killed only 2 sheep and that's it. No more sheep. So God said, hey, bring 7 clean and 7 unclean. If you want to rock your whole little theological boat, he already knew which animals were clean and unclean. And the law hadn't even been given yet. There's a whole lot that God just kind of downloaded on Adam. Amen. So you just got to understand. Amen? It wasn't written for a little while longer, but God gave a whole bunch to Adam ahead of time. So anyway, God gets there and says, Adam, come here. I want you to name all the animals. And so God brings all the animals by, and Adam says, okay, well, we'll name those giraffe. And we'll name those lion. And those are sheep. Wow, look, there's already several rabbits. Amen. So he's naming all the animals. And as he's naming those animals, he's going, wait a minute. There's 2 of all them, and there's not two of us. Because it says right there, but for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him. Adam realized after the animals came by, somehow Adam realized, hey, there's not one for me. There's not one that looks like me. Amen. And praise the Lord, women don't look like us either. But at least they're similar, amen. Adam realizes here his need. Listen, folks, in the area of missions, God, as a church, you need to realize there's a need. There's a need in our life. And to illustrate this one, think of Little House on the Prairie. How many of you ever seen Little House on the Prairie? Amen. You like Little House on the Prairie? The books are better. How many read the books? The books are better, aren't they? A lot better. So anyway, let's say the church is the bride. We say that all the time, right? The bride of Christ, the church is the bride of Christ. So let's say church is the bride, and let's use, if you would, Little House on the Prairie. We'll say the church is the bride, and the bride is represented by Ma Ingalls, there on Little House on the Prairie. With me on that one? And then we'll say the missionary is represented by Paul. Now, where was Paul always at? Paul was always out in the field. And he's always out in the field working, breaking up the ground, planting the seed. And that's what missionaries do, amen? We go out there, break up the ground, and plant the seeds and sow in life. Amen? So we'll say the church is Ma, and Ma is back here, and Ma was always busy at home, wasn't she? You never saw it pan over and Ma's just, you know, scrolling on Facebook all day long. You didn't see it, amen? She was doing stuff, amen? And listen, guys, the ladies do stuff, amen? The ladies get plenty done, right? Well, at least hopefully. And if not, you can pray for them, yeah? But here, Ma's here at home, and Ma was always busy. It looked like Ma was always in the kitchen, but that's just the way the house was set up, amen? You had the all-purpose room, yeah? That was kitchen, dining, that was everything. And then she kind of cooked right there, and then the room was back there, and the kiddos were up top. But Ma was always there doing her thing, and she was busy. And that's the way the church ought to be. The church ought to be at home, busy. The problem is so many churches nowadays have become little clubs, and they're not a little busy. And they're just there, and they're not having any fruit. They're not producing, and they're not doing anything for God. They're just there. And listen, church ought to be more than that. Amen? And I know you folks know that, and that's what you got here. And we're excited for that. But let's you know, they're not all growing and going like this church is. Amen? But Maul needs to be home busy, and Paul needs to be out in the field doing his work. The missionary needs to be out in the field doing the work. And it's easy for the missionary to be out in the field doing the work when Maul's back at home. Why? Because there's purpose. Amen? Now, we want to please God in all things. Now, don't get me wrong there. But for me to be able to go out and get something done, I like to go out and be able to say to my wife, hey, I got this done today. Amen? You can go to work and do the same thing and never really get anything done. I like to get stuff done. Amen? I like to finish it. And on the mission field, you know, sometimes the van breaks down and you just got to go get it fixed. Amen? We started the mission on the coast. And every Thursday, we would go down to the coast and have services there on Thursday. It was the only day of the week we didn't have services. And so we chose Thursday to go down to the coast and start the mission down there. And so every Thursday morning, I get up and take the van, because we have like a 12-passenger van. We pile like 30 people into it. And then we drive down the mountain about, we probably come down 7,000, maybe 8,000 feet on mountainous, windy roads that are Guatemalan mountainous, windy roads. And so, and people just driving crazy. And we all the traffic up here, we thought, hey, at least it's not Guatemala, man. Look at everybody kind of stays in their lane and they're not fighting too much. It's nice. In Guatemala, it's doggy dog. You're just going to get in there. And if not, you're going to get ran over by the guy coming the other way. So, anyway, we go down the coast and come back and say, hey, got the brakes changed and got it all. You like to get stuff done. It's easy to go out and to work when you can bring home the paycheck, amen, and say, hey, listen, I got it done. And Ma's excited, and he wants to come home because Ma's at home been busy, amen. I love it when I come home and there's cookies baking, amen. I love it when I come home and my wife's got one of our favorites there in Guatemala is my wife's homemade chicken pot pie. Oh, that is so good. And so, anyway, we it's easy to do that. Why? Because Ma's at home. Hey, church, it's easy to serve the Lord out in the field. Preacher said we were sacrificing. Hey, it's not too bad when you got folks that care for you back home. Amen. Amen? When you know somebody's praying for you back home. Hey, we pass out these prayer cards. I pass out these prayer cards because I believe and I know that we need prayer. Missions is a physical thing. We actually physically have to go to a third world country, and although Guatemala is beautiful, it has its stresses. Amen. But so we ask prayer for the physical. But you know what? The mission, the work is so much of more a spiritual work than it is just a physical work. And so we need your prayers. We need it. And how many would agree the missionary needs prayer? All right. Let me back up over here. How many of you? We know as a church, praying for the missionary, you know it's necessary. How many ladies believe you ought to pray for your husband? Amen. Now, don't raise your hand this time. How many of you actually do it when they go off to work? Amen. And you snuggle back in the bed or get the kid. I don't know what you do. Now, in the old-fashioned, maybe that was the case. But nowadays, you've got husband going to work, wife going to work, children going to college. Everyone's going, you know, everybody's got a key, and it's a little bit different. But for the illustration, it's easier, amen, if you think of Ma being at home and Paul going to work. And at the same time, Paul would, when he left, he was always praying for the folks back home too. And listen, communication is important, folks. As a church and as a missionary in this area of marriage and missions, God brings us together to be able to mutually pray one for another. We're reading through the Bible as a family each evening. We go through the Bible, and we've read it a few times now. And right now we're over there in Timothy. And he said, hey, my heart's desire is to hear that things go well with you. We pray for you always. And that's the missionary praying for the church. Amen. Why? Because there's communication. And if you read that, if you read in between the lines, you'll find out when Paul was writing back to the church who was helping support him, that wasn't even his sending church. That was another church. He said, no man gave unto me. Well, he wasn't from that church. Where was Paul from? Book of Acts. There were teachers. Wow. Get your Bibles. Let's go there real quick. We're going to have to learn this tonight. And I want you to see it. All right? book of Acts. You got to find where Paul was in there. And let's see, Saul consenting unto death, chapter number 8. It should be chapter 9. There we go. It says there, Saul breathed out the threatenings, fell to the earth. That's, well, that's one more. See, you got me now. Verse chapter 13. It says here, now there were in the church that was at, where? Antioch. All right, so what church was Paul out of? Antioch, because it says right here, it says right there, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So he was sent out of the church of Antioch. But if you read over there in Colossians, he's going, hey, listen, my God shall supply all your need. Well, he's talking to them because he's like, you guys gave once then again unto my need when no man gave unto me. Listen, it's really interesting when you look at the... But you've got to remember now that the church back in Jerusalem and Antioch, that everything just kind of fell to pieces. And so he had already got sent out, and the church just kind of just collapsed because of persecution. And so they were the other churches were actually sending money back to the other churches to help out. And so anyway, that's just your extra Bible lesson that wasn't in the message tonight. But anyway, so here we see God's plan. God wants to show us a need. Church, you have a need tonight. And I know you know about it, but that need is missions. Because you know what? Maul has no real purpose if Maul's not providing for Paul out in the field. You with me? Maul is best satisfied when she is when Paul's out there and it's hot and she says, hey, Laura, get the jug of lemonade from the well so it's good and cold and carry it out there to Paul. Paul's out in the field and Laura runs up and brings this jug of cold lemonade. Oh, wow. Homemade lemonade, not the country time stuff. Amen? It's just great. It refreshed him. Why? Because Maul communicated unto Paul and just refreshed him, encouraged him. Listen, that's what missions is all about. You guys encourage us, and it's easy to keep on working when we're encouraged. The problem is so many churches turn into that social club we talked about at the beginning, and they stop communicating. Now, I don't mean they stop sending money, because a lot of times in the Bible, the word communicating is help gave financially. But it's more than that. It's communicating. I mean, it's emails. Now we got Facebook. Wow, it's so easy. And I was like, Dad, we ever been to this church? And it was been a while since I said, and you remember Brother Wiggins and Mrs. Wiggins? Because you sent us a text. And I said, Mrs. Wiggins, well, who's that? And I said, remember that picture on the little video on Facebook where the husband dropped that big spider out and scared the... That was them. So that's how they remembered, yeah, man. And I said, if you see the pastor, he's kind of tall, black hair. He's got a real happy face on him. You'll be able to pick him out. And so that was my description for the pastor. Listen, folks, we got to see our need. And the sad thing is, there's a lot of churches operating out today, and they have no real purpose. Though they don't see the need of missions. God said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And the way we do that is through missions. Number two, not only see God's plan, but we also see God's purpose. God brings us together that we might be fulfilled. Here in this passage, God brings Adam and Eve together that they might be one flesh, that they might be complete. And listen, again, the church, when we come together, our purpose is that we might, that here we see in the passage that she was meet for him. In other words, they met the needs. Listen, my wife is so talented. And does all this stuff really great. And even today, I worked on saying something right so many times. And then when I went to say it to her, I said it wrong. I said it backwards. And she's looking at me like, what? I said, sorry, hon, I just practiced to say it right. And it still came out wrong. And so my wife says it all right the first time. Amen. And she's just great. Amen. God knew what I needed. Amen. When you get those prayer letters and they make sense, it's because I write them out. I give them to her and she changes it all up. It still says what I want to say, amen, but it comes out right. We have a purpose, amen, that we can pray one for another. We were just out in West Texas, and one of the churches we were in said, listen, just want to let you know, this is what's going on. And I said, hey, let's just pray right now. And he said, and so in the future, if all of a sudden, you know, the support's less, it's because... this is going on right now, and he said, we're not going to cut anybody, but we may pull back quite a bit on finances if the finances, stop. And in this area of missions, I said, not a problem, brother. I said, you just serve the Lord, but let's pray. And listen, we can communicate. At the same time, I called another church up and said, hey, listen, we're back. Do you want us to come by? You know what? I'm glad you called. I should have called you, but I'm glad you called. Just want to let you know, we dropped all of our missionaries but two. And so we're going to communicate with them on a daily basis. And I said, praise the Lord. I'm excited for them. Amen. Good communication. That's what's very needed. And but hey, if he would have let me know like 6 years ago, we could have prayed for him. Amen. But if they don't let you know anything, you know, it's kind of hard to pray for them. Communication. Wives, what you like when your husband actually comes home and y'all can actually communicate. Right? Last night was great. We didn't do anything last night. Missionaries always kind of coming and going. And last night we didn't go anywhere or do anything. We just sat down and mapped out our whole schedule for the next 6 weeks. We'll be hitting the road, hitting the whole California out in the desert. We got to drive there, amen? We got to drive to Oregon. We got to drive to Washington State and a whole bunch of some of us Idaho and Iowa. We're going to be all over the place. So pray for us, amen? But hey, we're able to communicate. Isn't it nice, ladies, when your husband will sit down and listen to you? Communicate. Amen? The lady's supposed to speak like 50,000 words a day. Men are like at 20,000. And listen, guys, they need communication. And the same way with the church. And encourage each other. Amen? That's what God wants. That's the purpose. Amen? God showed Adam his need. And God showed Adam his plan. He showed him his purpose. And also, number three, he showed him his provision. Listen, folks, what you just saw on these boards up here were souls getting saved because you took on the Coast family as your first missionaries some 14-odd years ago. All the folks you saw up there, those are folks saved. Now, what happens in this passage? We have God bringing Adam and Eve together. Later on, the next chapter, we find out there's what? When you take a husband and a wife in the bonds of holy matrimony with God right there as a focus, what's going to happen? They're going to have children. Hey, when you take a church that's serving God and busy at home, and you take a missionary who wants to serve God and do the work on the field, and you bring them together to where they can both get the job done, you know what? You have spiritual children. Listen, folks, that's fruit to your account. Paul said, I don't desire a gift just for me. I desire that fruit might abound to your account. And church, that's fruit to your account. There's only like five pictures in that thing that didn't have folks that got saved in it. At the Vacation Bible School, no one came down at the invitation. No one got saved. No one got saved. No one got saved. Each night, Sunday, we decided to do it different. Sunday, we'll have a closing program, invite all the families to come down to come and be a part. And we gave the invitation on Sunday. We had 36 children trust Christ as their Savior. Wow. You think, you know, hey, we, you know, all during the week, but no. We finally gave the invitation, and they were just relaxed enough, I guess, from so many days together. 36 children came down and trusted Christ for Savior. Maybe we had to get all the workers together and make sure you get some names here. How many times do you have 36 people come down forward and get saved? You're not really prepared for 36 people to come down and get saved, amen? But it was great. It was great. Parents were there. Wow, we were just excited. And listen, folks, that's what happens when the church says, you know what? We've got to get together with the missionary and get the job done. And listen, we thank you, church, for getting together with the Coates family and praying for us. Serve the Lord here. We need you busy here. There's a whole other 15, 20 minutes I could preach right there, but listen, we need you busy. Because you know, if the church closes up here, we can't do the work there. Amen? Now, I believe God provides, yes. You know, and when God didn't provide via the church, hey, Paul was out there making tents. Amen? And you know what? We believe God's going to provide for us, but at the same time, we're out there busy making sure God is going to provide. And if things stop for whatever reason anywhere, hey, we got our garden, we got our whatever, amen? We got our bees, and we got all kinds of stuff. So listen, we've got to be trusting in the Lord and doing our part. The church at home is like Ma. She was always busy at home. She was always busy. Paul was always out in the field. And it sure was sweet when they'd come back and then you'd see an episode and they'd go to church. Amen? Hey, we're at church tonight together. It's a blessing. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, Lord, we do thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here tonight. Lord, we thank you, Father, for this sweet church, Lord. Thank you for Brother Crawford, Lord, who's been a blessing, Lord. And Lord, we love, Lord, so many folks here. And Lord, it's been faithful through the years. Lord, thank you, Lord, for providing, Lord, through them. to us and thus, Lord, into the ministry there in Guatemala. Lord, years ago, Lord, in the missions conference, Lord, one of the families, Lord, gave a piano, a keyboard piano, Lord, and when we've played that and played that and played that there in the ministry, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, so much for your provision, Lord, through this local church. Lord, we do pray, Lord, you bless them. Now, Lord, we're going in the invitation. Lord, if there be someone here, Lord, that maybe, Lord, their focus, Father, is not exactly on you. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would repent of that, Lord, and make Jesus Christ our focus. Father, that you would be preeminent in our lives. Lord, put our desires, put our wants as a husband, as a wife, as a teenager, or as a child. Lord, help us, Lord, to put those things aside, Lord, and put you first, Lord, in our lives. And then, Lord, the communication in the house will go great. Lord, the communication in the house of God, and then also, Lord, communication, Lord, with the church, Lord, will be wonderful. And, Lord, we thank you, Lord, so much. But, Lord, help us, Lord, to get right on that. And then, Lord, if we're not doing what we ought to be doing, Lord, speak to our hearts. Show us, Lord, our need. Show us our purpose. The plan that you have for the lives of each and every one, Lord, under my voice tonight. Lord, show them their purpose in this local church and in the area of missions. Please, Lord, bless. In Christ, and we pray. I'll turn it over to the pastor now.